author. I love to dig in the dirt, and I love to geek out about plants with all of the garden lovers out there. So thank you very much for joining us this morning. We have a lot of information for you today. If you missed our first hour, you can go back and you can hear it on iHeartRadio podcast. And we love having you join us. And you can hear the podcast 24/7. And so this is a wonderful time of the year. The fall is a great time to get gardening, but it's also a time to start thinking about Christmas gifts and what you're going to get for, you know, fellow gardeners and your family who love gardening. And so we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful conversation with Diane Blazek. She's with the National Garden Bureau, and she is going to be talking to us about an event that's happening next week. And then also, too, if you have problems with your deer, and we do have deer issues here in Florida, then we're going to be talking to Nancy Carmali with Proven Winners Color Choice. And she is going to be talking to us in this half hour about deer-proof plant program. And literally, it's a deer-proof plant program. And so we love doing that, you know, giving you new plants that are coming on the market that have special characteristics. And I am just amazed at how much deer issues we do have here in Florida. You know, you think of being in the urban area, and so you don't think of deer, but we do have them. And so what can you be doing this month in the garden? Well, this is a time to start your cool season vegetables. Okay, so cool season vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower, collards and onions, you can start planting those now. And also the herbs, you can also, if you haven't remulched your yard, you can go ahead and do that. And that's going to help protect it, your landscape beds and your flowers and your shrubs, keeping it drier and not drier, but warmer in the wintertime. And so we that is a very good idea for the landscape, you know, making sure that the water doesn't evaporate from the ground and also that it is, you know, protected from the winter. Mulching your yard will help, mulching your landscape beds will help keep your plants warmer in the winter. And so with us right now is Diane Blazek. She's the executive director of the National Garden Bureau. And she has an exciting event next week that I'm going to be part of. And I wanted to have her on so that we can invite you to it. Good morning, Diane. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. I wanted to let everybody know about this event because it's very exciting. And so tell us what is happening next Thursday, and it's happening all across the country and around the world, too.
Exactly. That's the glory of having these virtual events. So this is Authors Talk Gardening. It's a book party where we interview four different, well, you're going to be interviewing four different book authors, and it just is a great opportunity to get to know these authors. You know, a lot of people talk about the story behind the story, so you're going to learn more about them, their gardening tips, who the book was written for, and some of the key points in each of their books.
And this is like having a front seat meeting these authors one-on-one. And so I really am looking forward to this, and it's happening on Zoom. How do people know where to go and register?
So I think you're going to post a link, which is easy, but
yes,
the other way to do it is to go to the National Garden Bureau website. It's super easy, three letters, ngb.org. Up at the top, you click on education, and then you click on webinars, and it's the top webinar on that page, and all you have to do is register. It's totally free to attend. Once you register, you'll get an email for the link for the Zoom call on Thursday.
And what authors, who are we inviting? Who's going to be speaking, I mean?
Yeah, there are four different authors. One of them, her name is Charlotte Wiggins, and she has written The Beekeeper's Diary. Then we have Susan Betts, and hers is all about herbal houseplants, so growing herbs indoors. And then Shelley Cram, her book is called My Father is the Gardener, so a very spiritual approach to gardening. And then we also have Michael Perry, who's from the UK. Great fun. His book is called Hortus Curious. So for anybody who's curious about a lot of different types of plants, this is a book for you.
And this is, again, I'm looking so forward to talking with each one of these authors. I know them personally, and they've been on Better Lawns and Gardens before. But these books, they'll be able to sit, they can actually will see them, and they can even ask questions and just, you know, learn more about these authors. And again, it is free. And it'll be happening Thursday. I'm going to post a link in our Facebook page on Better Lawns and Gardens. And they can go, again, Diane, what is the website?
ngb.org, and then go to the education tab, and then the webinar link.
And it's going to happen November 9th, Thursday. And it depends on the starting, I mean, where you live in the country and world about what time to tune into it. But it's going to happen here in Florida on the Eastern Coast at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. in Central, 5 p.m. in Mountain Area, and then 4 o'clock in the Pacific time frame. And so it'll be free. And we're just going to have a wonderful time. I enjoyed the last one. This is our second Meet the Author Garden Party book, and for authors. And we just are going to have a great time, Diane.
Oh, it's going to be fabulous. We're going to come away from there going, okay, we want a garden. We want to know more. We want to read their book. So, yeah, that's what always happens on these.
And it also will give them an opportunity to, they can know what to buy for their family and for gardeners on their Christmas gift list. It'll give them some options to do that. Thank you so much, Diane. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye. We'll talk real soon. Listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and joining us right now is Natalie Carmely. She is the marketing director for Proven Winners Color Choice, and she has a great solution. I have been getting a lot of questions about deer, and people saying, you know, what can I plant where deer are, you know, won't try and eat all of my garden? And so, good morning, Natalie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. It's so nice to be here with you today.
So I understand in the north, in the deep woods of Michigan, and in the Smokies in North Carolina, we have deer. You can see deer in other states further north, but Florida. So when did Proven Winners roll out their deer-proof program? Because we certainly need it here in Florida.
Yeah, one thing we understood was deer are really becoming an expanding problem for everyone in North America. And we decided, you know, we had a lot of shrubs in our program that are deer-proof, but how do we make it really easy for people to be able to identify them? So just last year, we rolled out our deer-proof program, which basically takes the shrubs that we know are rated as being rarely damaged by Rutgers University, New Jersey. They list this landscape plants rated by deer resistance right on their website. We took those shrubs and we put them in a container that says deer proof right on the side. So it takes all the guesswork out. You can grab one of those shrubs and likely they're not going to be too damaged by deer. Now, one thing we know about deer, when they get hungry, they might take a nibble of anything.
Right.
But these are not going to be very tasty.
Wonderful. That is perfect. And so the South is zone 7 to 10. So let's start with some of my go-to plants for landscape design. So I use these a lot in my landscape, but you have choices that the deer won't like. So always a classic in the garden is boxwood. So tell us about the Buxus macrophylla.
Yes, I think everyone loves a boxwood. They're so dependable. They give such great, you know, year-round color. Well, for us, year-round color. You get year-round color, which I'm very jealous about.
Zone envy, we
call it. We're always searching for that up here. We've already had snow in Michigan. But we have two boxwoods in the program, in the deer-proof program. The first is Sprinter. So this is called Sprinter because it's a fast-growing Buxus microphylla. So it has a really upright habit. You could use it for low hedging or landscaping. It's a little bit hardier than English boxwood, but because it's not English boxwood, it doesn't have that characteristic odor that you might get with a lot of boxwood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fairly disease resistant. You know, we always test things for blight, and this one's done very well in university tests for blight. Like you said, it's hard. It's heat tolerant all the way up to 9. It's going to get 2 to 4 feet wide and tall. So you can shear it just like any boxwood. And,
it makes a nice hedge. That's great. And so, so tell me about Caryopteris. I have not familiar with this, and I haven't seen it growing in Florida, but it does well here. It's also known as Bluebeard, and it's got the most beautiful flowers. Tell us about that.
It does. Bluebeard is such a spectacular plant, really drought resistant once it's established as well. It likes to be in sandy soil, and we have 3 Bluebeard in the program and in our catalog, and they're all a little different from one another. We have Beyond Midnight, which is kind of your classic Bluebeard with that blue summer flower, dark blue foliage. Then we have Sunshine Blue, too, with that same blue flower, but a yellowish kind of a foliage, so it's really a nice contrast. But the one I'm really excited about for the fall is called Beyond Pinked, and it's a pink Bluebeard, ironically.
Oh.
But the flowers are like these little balls up the stems, almost looks like if you're familiar with the truffula trees or Dr. Seuss, it looks like that. But this shrub will get covered from top to bottom like a globe, and these little rounded flowers that collect all up the stem, and that's Beyond Pink. And all 3 are lovely.
Oh, I'm so excited about that one. I'm telling you, I've been looking for a nice, you know, evergreen pink flowering shrub, and that sounds perfect. And so junipers are also a really good choice, but you have some that can take Florida's heat and full sun. They don't need a lot of water. But again, proven winner's color choice is also deer-proof.
Right. So we have a nice, small, mounded juniper called Montana Moss, good in USDA zones 4 to 9. Like you said, can take full sun. It's only going to get 2 to 4 feet high and 3 to 5 feet wide, so a little wider than it is tall. Has that beautiful blue foliage, nice and soft for a juniper. And like you said, it can withstand deer. It's a really great choice for people that need really tough evergreen ground covers.
That's it, and it looks beautiful. I'm certainly going to be using that one. And so another one that I'm not familiar with is Sweetbox. I got goosebumps when I saw the flowers. It was beautiful. Tell us about Sweetbox.
Yeah, we just added a sweet box to our catalog, otherwise known as Sarcococca. And this variety is called Sweet and Low. And this is a broadleaf evergreen. And typically, if you were to get a Sarcococca, it'd be 4 to 5 feet tall, 5 to 6 feet wide. But this one's a really garden-friendly size, 1.5 to 2.5 feet tall, and 2 to 3 feet wide. Prefers acidic soil, so like a lot of broadleaf evergreens, it's going to want to be an acidic, well-draining soil. But it does have that really interesting spring flower, a white spring flower, very fragrant, with that lipstick red tips on the end of each flower. If you're familiar with a Laura Petalum and that fringe flower kind of
yes.
look, it almost has that look.
It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Now, would it be attractive to pollinators?
Absolutely. Pollinators love those flowers. It does have a little summer berry, too. A bird might eat it if it's, you know, getting really, it's not a tasty berry, but it does develop a berry. So it does get a purple summer berry as well. This adds a little extra interest.
Okay. So now, so what kind of conditions? We've gone through a couple or, you know, four or five plants, but what kind of site conditions do deer-proof plants and your deer-proof plant program need?
Well, the nice thing about these is they all are fairly similar in their conditions. They're really, really hardy. They're mostly all pretty resistant to wind. Once they're established, they're pretty drought tolerant. So what we're talking about here is not just plants that are deer proof, but plants that are really tough landscape plants. So you can plant these almost anywhere. Like, they're a little different from shrub to shrub. For instance, sweet and low, you can plant that in full shade. You can plant that in part sun to full shade. Whereas the juniper we talked about before, it wants full sun. So they'll differ a little bit shrub to shrub in that case, but they're all tough. And once established, you'll have no trouble with them at all.
What I like is that you do have plants that grow in full sun, and then other people, they have shade. So, you know, you have a mixture of choices for them. So I love that. And so now, you know, Better Lawns and Gardens is heard all over the world and even all across the country. You have plants. What zones do these plants grow in?
You know, in this collection, which is, gosh, over 30 shrubs right now. We've doubled the collection in the past year. We have shrubs that go all the way down to zone 2. So if you're up in Minnesota, we have a collection of, you know, 6, 7, 8 shrubs that you can grow way up north. And then now the shrubs we're talking about with you can go all the way down south as well, down to zone 9. So it's a really, really wide variety, and I think that's why shrubs are so interesting and fun, is because they can really span a large hardiness zone.
That is so true, and I love new plants. And so this is a really exciting program. So where can listeners find, you know, Proven Winners Color Choice deer-proof plants?
We like to always encourage people to go to your garden center first. Ask them if they carry Proven Winners shrubs in the deer-proof containers. I'm looking for these shrubs. I heard about they're in a deer-proof container. If they carry Proven Winners plants, they can ask for them and add them to their collection. A lot of times, if you own an independent garden center, you want to make sure if you're going to bring something new in that people are looking for it. And if you absolutely can't find it, of course, you can always go to provenwinners.com.
That is wonderful, Natalie. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. It's just at the right time of the year. I literally have been getting emails this week on tell us your plants that deer won't like. So that's the Proven Winners Color Choice Deer Proof Plant Program. And the website again, Natalie?
ProvenWinners.com.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Natalie Carmelie. She is with Proven Choice, Proven Winners Color Choice, and she was nice enough to come on. And like I said, I've been literally getting emails this week on the deer are everywhere, and so it was just the right timing. Lizzie, they look beautiful. I'm telling you, I'm so excited about them, you know, and it just adds more landscape plants. The more diversified your landscape can be, mm-hmm. you can have natives and non-natives. And it's, you know, that's going to be the healthiest landscape. But now the deer are just going to have to get a little skinnier. They're not going to have as much to eat. And so
I'll be honest. Have you seen any around here in like the Orlando / Lake Mary Longwood area? They're starting to look like Georgia deer. So they're getting fed pretty well. So
they are. And so, and you know, the funny thing is you don't see them during hunting season. They are so smart.
Right.
You see them along I-4. And I was shocked. I saw like 3 or 4 deer along I-4. And I'm going, you just don't see that here in Central Florida.
They've learned. Go into the neighborhoods that have the wooded areas. You're not going to, well, I'm not saying you're guaranteed not to get shot, but, you know, you're not going to get hunted there.
There you go. We can take your gardening calls now, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us at 23680. We have a lot of texts regarding a good plant identification app. I can help you there. And then laying sod, does that once a week watering apply to you? Thank you so much, Jimmy from Apopka. And we're going to take more text messages if it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you know someone who loves to garden or has a question about their landscape, please let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens. Tell them to call in with their gardening questions so I can help them. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. If you missed any of today's shows, I will be posting links on our Facebook page and on Instagram. Let's go to Bill in Ocala. Good morning, Bill. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I think it's a Sylvester palm.
Okay.
And it's a big tree. The trunk's probably a foot and a half, okay, maybe 20 inches or so in diameter. It's big.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is it's browning. And it happened over the summer with the heat and the dry conditions that we went through.
Mm-hmm.
It started browning from the fronds at the bottom, and they browned all the way up to the top. Now, the top's not completely dead, but I'm very, very concerned. I don't know what I can do. I've been putting water to it. I gave it palm food. Have you any suggestions?
Yes. Well, not suggestions, but some sad facts. Throughout the state of Florida for the last, I would say since 2006, we've been seeing a serious decline in our palm trees with lethal bronzing, especially the Phoenix species of palms. And lethal bronzing, it kills the tree, and what it does is it actually infects other trees around it, the other Phoenixes around it, palm trees. So depending on how far gone it is, you're probably going to have to take it out, and you don't want to put another palm in. So lethal bronzing, if you will email me, Bill, I can send you a publication on it, and I will send that to you. But do you have other palm trees too as well?
No. You know what's odd? You know what you're saying? There are no neighboring palms.
Right.
I have a little sago.
Mm-hmm.
But no other palms are in the neighborhood.
Okay, and so do you have a landscaping company trim your palm trees?
No, I've been doing that myself.
Okay, well, you know, it's something that is going around, and it's been going around for a while, and I have whole entire HOA communities that are losing 10, 15, 20 of these palm trees at a time, and it's just happening. And so, you know, send me an email to betterlawns.com, and I'll send you the publication on it, and you can just see, you know, how, depending on how far gone it is. Now, if you want to get an arborist to look at it, to assess it, to make sure that what I'm saying is correct, that would be a good idea, especially since it is such an expensive palm. And if it isn't as far gone, there may be some injections, antibacterial, injections that you can do that may help prolong the life of your palm. But once it's infected, there's no cure.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for the information.
I'm sorry. It's such a bummer.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Thank you so much, Bill, for calling in. Appreciate it. Let's go to Rona in Orlando. Good morning, Rona. How can I help you?
Good morning, and thank you for all the good information you give on this show.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have three small salsa plants.
Mm-hmm.
It's also called guanabana. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Right, and atamoya.
Yes, exactly. So I had them in the pot because I just bought them, and I don't know if they like the cold, but I want to find out how much water can I put in them because I still have them in the pot. I want to keep them in the pot through the winter at least.
I think that's a great idea. It's very smart because it is a tropical plant, and it doesn't like temperatures below 30 degrees. And so in the pots, do you have them outside in the yard?
Right now, I actually have them inside the porch by the window, so by the glass window.
Okay. All right. And so I would give them as much sunlight as you can right now, but when the temperatures start to drop drastically, like once they start to get in the 50s, I would bring it inside more. They need watering. Does the pot have drainage holes?
Yes.
It does have drainage holes. I would water them probably once a week. when the temperatures are 70 to 80 degrees, you know, averaging that. But when the temperature drops down and it's averaging about 50 degrees, I would go to once every 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So just stick your finger in the pot, and if, you know, the soil is cool, moist, or damp, you do not need to water it.
Okay.
Okay.
And just one quick question.
Sure.
I also bought a cherry tree, and I think it's one of the tropical ones.
Acerola?
Yes. That's the one. Uh-huh. So does that one, because you know how the leaves are a little bit hard, and I just want to make sure that that gets enough water too. Is that the same thing for the watering?
Same thing too. They don't need an excessive amount of water, but in the pot, it's going to hold on to the water a little bit longer unless the temperatures get really warm. But again, if you just stick your finger in the pot, soak it good when you water it. Don't just give it like a cup of water or just a splash of water. Soak it so that the water's running out. And if you do that once a week, that will be fine. And then when we get really cool, every 2 weeks or so, we'll be fine.
Got you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Rona. Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Garden. Okay, and so we have Michael. He's from Melbourne Beach. He has a question. If you'll hold on through the break, Michael, I'm going to take you next. And also, we've got text messages, and I promise we'll get to those too as well. If you have a gardening question, you can give us a call. 1-888-455-2967. If you have a question and you want to just go to our betterlawns.com page and send us an email, I can do that. You can also send me an email with your pictures, and so I will get to those as quickly as possible as well. And so we have Rebecca. I'm going to talk about her clementine tree. She has been so patient with me, and so I'm going to talk about the clementine tree.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. All right. And so instead of texting us a picture, what is your email exactly?
Okay, Teresa, and that's without the H. That's the other Teresa. Teresa.Watkins, Watkins@live.com. And if you'll please be patient, I appreciate it because I work so much.
You're a very busy lady. Like whenever you were talking about the thing that you have coming up here next week?
Yeah, next week, meet the authors.
Oh, I was like, what?
Yeah, and we're going to be doing a Zoom, and it's just going to be so much fun. That's Thursday, November 9th. You have to go onto the National Garden Bureau's website to register for it. It is free, but we have such a great time, and you just sit right in front of these authors and talk to them. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We're going to go to Michael in Melbourne Beach. Good morning, Michael. How can I help you?
Thank you for the both of you. And I need to take my plants to a plant ICU. I have two seedling mangoes, and they've been doing real great. They were this year's crop. They're about 18 inches tall, and they've for the last couple months, they've just been growing like weeds. And, of course, it's been so hot over here. I know it's real cold over there, but it's been so hot over here.
Uh-huh.
So I think I may have overwatered them because the new growth on the top two or three new leaves as they come out, have fallen off. And the plants, all the leaves on the plants now are getting some kind of a black color to them.
Okay.
And they're starting to shrivel up.
Oh, no.
I just don't know what to do with them, whether I need to repot them or what.
Okay, so how big are the pots? Are they in a larger pot?
No, they're in, I guess, about half-gallon pots.
Okay, and does it have drainage holes in it?
No.
Okay, so that's going to be a big thing about overwatering. And so, you probably did overwater it. I would actually repot them into a pot that does have holes in it if you can, but if you can't, then I would take it out of the pot. Let it dry out. So pull it out. Make sure that, you know, it's not, there's no water in the pot. Kind of like empty it. And
thank you so much.
Yeah.
I know you're busy.
There
I
you go.
It.
All right.
Good
thank
luck
you so
to
much.
Y'all.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Michael. Bye-bye. That's real quick. And so I want to see with, go through our text messages real quick. Here, let me pull this down. Okay. And so want to say, Andrea from Lady Lake, yes, it is the same Lizzie, and she's here all week long, so she's here. And you needed to know the tick spray, so that Summit Responsible Solutions tick and flea spray. And you can get that at the hardware stores online or at Summit Solutions, SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. Right. That's Summit Tick and Flea Spray.
Yes.
And so she's a big fan of yours, Lizzie.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm a big fan of you, too, if you listen. Yeah, definitely. I'm here 6 days a week, so not a problem.
All right. And so Nancy from Cocoa, she has a indoor avocado that's turning brown on the edges and ends of leaves. She waters once a week while she listens to Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank you. And it's in an east window. What's causing the brown leaves? Well, I don't know. So brown leaves can be two things, Nancy. It could be either overwatering, underwatering. It could be a fertilizer burn. And so what I would say, would ask is, one, is it crinkly brown or will it dry? Does it feel dry and it'll snap off, the brown part snaps off? Then that could be underwatering and or also a fertilizer burn. If it's slimy and it just kind of looks like it's rotting, then it could be overwatering. So I would check your soil, make sure, see, and then you would know if you fertilize lately. Always make sure your plants are watered well before you fertilize, because fertilizer at its base is a salt. And so when you put fertilizer on a plant and it's dehydrated or doesn't have enough water in the soil moisture, then the fertilizer is going to be a little bit harsher and it's going to burn easier. So it would be one of those three things, Nancy. So let me know, and you can always send me photographs. Let's see. What treatment can I use to treat my lawn that will not harm birds, as I have a feeder and watch birds? Bob, great question, but I have to ask, why do you need to treat your lawn? So I need to understand that before I can tell you what to do with it. So if you've got insect issues and or, you know, weed issues, those are two different products. But both of them, you know, if you follow the label and do exactly as you're told on the label, now's the time to do it, October, first part of November, then it's not going to affect the birds. Okay, and so the chemicals used are formulated for the different products, and as long as you're doing it correctly, don't overuse a product, follow the label, the bird should be just fine. Great question. John in Kissimmee wants to know if it's a good time for growing cilantro. Yes, it's a wonderful time for growing cilantro. So you can grow any of your herbs right now. The heat is, you know, getting less, and we have shorter days, so herbs do very well here in the fall and the first part of winter. If we have a freeze, some of them can get damaged, but we do have some perennial and evergreen herbs that will do well all winter long. My peppers are gone. With snow, like tiny little white flying things under the leaves, and it's so annoying. Those are white flies, and you want to use a product for that that will not hurt the peppers, and you can still eat the plants. You can use the BioAdvanced Fruit and Vegetable Spray, and that will take care of the issue. But make sure that your peppers are growing in full sun, that they have good moisture, and they're not overstressed. And that'll make them less resistant to insect issues. Also, too, you want to make sure they're far enough apart where you have good air circulation. And again, that's an issue with plants, that if they're too close together and they're competing for the air, then they get stressed out. And insects love that little area where it's all nice and humid and you know, clogged in there.
Well, I took your advice, because I didn't really know about the tomatoes and that they needed places to breathe. I mean, I know that seems like it's rocket science, but for me, obviously, it's rocket science, okay? So, but, and then I clipped off the bottom leaves of those tomato plants that you gave me. So, yeah. So, I mean, they're doing good. They're growing tall, not really producing yet. But, yeah, so I was amazed that they'll actually grow out if you give them room to grow. So
exactly. They did. They thrive on it, just like children. Give them space to run, and they will do well. So I do appreciate that. So someone sent me in a beautiful picture of a yellow flower. And she said, Teresa, what is this tree that is blooming all over the area? And it is a cassia, fistula. It's called a golden shower tree. And it has beautiful yellow flowers on it that bloom in the wintertime. And so it is a really easy to identify. The cassias, there's different varieties. You can get some that are shrubs, some that are trees, and butterflies love them. They are the host plant for the yellow sulfur butterfly. And so if you want some butterflies in your yard.
Is it a tree or
well, the
bush?
One she sent me, the one she sent me was the tree.
Okay.
The cassia fistula. And but there are some that are shrubs that they get to be pretty tall, 8 to 10 feet tall.
There's a tree that I passed in a pumpkin. I need to stop and get a picture, but it's a huge tree. It almost reminds me of like a rubber looking tree.
Uh-huh.
And the flowers are probably about, let's say about 2 inches round, but they look like micro mini hibiscus, but they're very small and they're purplish pink. And a little, it looks like a little bit of white. Gorgeous, this tree.
Oh, it's a Hong Kong tulip tree.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And they bloom in the fall.
Oh, it's so gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. And they just, they look lovely. And it does look like a rubber.
It does. Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know. So did I get to everyone? Let me see. My text messages keep changing with the...
It keeps updating. That means that people are listening. Yeah,
exactly.
Also,
the plant identification app.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I wanted to tell you the plant identification app. So I will tell you honestly that I don't like any of them. There's some that are so wrong. And if you don't know plants, you don't know they're telling you the wrong name. So here's what I do. I go to Google Images, and there's a place where you do the search that you can put in a picture. Put in the picture, and then click search, and it'll come up with all the plants that look like that.
Okay.
And then you can then identify the one you think looks most like it. So that's my plant identification, because I usually know most of the plants.
Yeah, I like to use this person called Teresa Watkins. That I text her these pictures to. And you can email her at teresa.watkins @live.com.
Yeah, what you want your plants to be live. So I want to thank Joe Reese with Mr. Landscaper. Turn your irrigation systems on tomorrow to once a week watering. You will be so thankful that you're saving money on your water bill, but your plants and your landscape will appreciate it. And this is the time of the year to wean your lawns off of irrigation. So if you've been overwatering, do it now during the wintertime when it's cooler. Your turf will not get as stressed. Your plants won't get as stressed. So once a week watering now. And then Bill Stengel with Summit Responsible Solutions. I am so proud that they that I have them as sponsors, because
yes,
they're such a great product and good for the environment. They care about it. Check with us. I'm going to post on Meet the Authors. This is the book party that we're going to have next Thursday night. And you can come from all around the country, all around the world. You can listen to it, join in, and meet the great, great authors. Shelley Cram, Susan Betts, and then also Charlotte Wiggins, and then Michael Perry. And they are all exciting gardeners, and you won't want to miss it. And then a big thank you to Natalie Carmella for Deer Proof Plant Program. That's Proven Winners Color Choice. I'll be posting links to all of it today on our Facebook page. Thank you, Lizzie. You're awesome. Thank you to everyone who called in and texted. I certainly appreciate it. This Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Make sure you guys stick around, because the Gator pregame is up next. Go to WFLAOrlando.com, and you can listen to it there or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to WFLF Orlando.